Roll call, please.
Roll call?
Yes, please.
Mr. Bond?
Here.
Mr. Peckham?
Here.
Councilman Lawberry?
Here.
Mr. Holly? Absent. Mrs. Jasko?
Here.
Mr. Kuzinski?
Here.
Mrs. Majewski?
Here.
Vice Chair Nett? Absent. Chairman Holter?
Here.
Dr. Zuzalak?
Here.
Mr. Curtis?
Here.
Mr. Burke? Ms. Walter?
Here.
Mayor Quirrell?
Thank you very much. Pursuant to Section 5 of the Open Public Meetings Act, this meeting has been duly advertised in accordance with law by publication in the official newspapers of the borough and by posting at Borough Hall by the Borough Clerk as part of the annual notice. This meeting is a quasi-judicial meeting. Any comments or questions must be limited to the issues that are relevant to what the board may legally consider in reaching a decision. Decorum appropriate to a judicial hearing must be maintained at all times. Do you stand for sign prayer? I pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now's the time for any public comment for items which are not on this agenda.
No, we have other contracts.
All right. Next item, pending litigation.
Mr. Chairman, I'm pleased to report that there is none.
Other business.
The calendar, yes. We need to announce that we have a new date. And is it going to be here?
As far as I know.
Okay. So the next item on the agenda is other business, setting a special meeting date for PB 2302. That's Callahan application. We indicated at the last meeting, anyone interested should appear this evening or at least tune in this evening because we're going to schedule a special meeting for that application. The special meeting is now scheduled for September 19, 2023 at 7:00 p.m. in the same room, so that if you are here and interested in that application, or if you're on Zoom and interested in the application, it is going to be continued on September 19th at 7 p.m. in this same room. If you're interested, be back here at that date and time.
Thank you, Mr. Steinman. I just had one other thing. We had a request from members of the public for all of us on the dais and any presenter to speak into the microphones, make sure our microphones are on, so that people in the back of the room, people on Zoom, can be heard. So we'll keep that in mind for the public. Any other business? Seeing none. Need a motion?
I'll make a motion to adjourn, Jasko.
Second, Bond.
All in favor?
Aye.
On to the regular meeting. Roll call, please.
Mr. Bond?
Here.
Mr. Peckham?
Here.
Councilman Lawberry?
Here.
Mr. Holly? Mr. Jasko?
Here.
Mr. Kuzinski?
Here.
Mrs. Majewski?
Here.
Vice Chair Nett? Chairman Holter?
Here.
Dr. Zuzalak?
Here.
Mr. Curtis?
Here.
Mr. Burke? Ms. Walter?
Here.
Next item is the approval of the August 3rd, 2023 minutes. I need a motion.
So moved, Bond.
Second, Dockery.
Mr. Bond?
Yes.
Mr. Peckham?
Yes.
Councilman Lawberry?
Yes.
Mr. Jasko?
Yes.
Mr. Kuzinski?
Yes.
Mrs. Majewski?
Yes.
Vice Chair, Chair McCulter?
Yes.
Mr. Curtis?
Yes.
Next item is the approval of attorney's voucher for June 2023. Need a motion?
I'll make a motion. Majewski?
Second, Jasko.
Mr. Bond?
Yes.
Mr. Peckham?
Yes.
Councilman Lawberry?
Yes.
Mr. Jasko?
Yes.
Mr. Kuzinski?
Yes.
Mrs. Majewski?
Yes.
Chairman Holter?
Yes.
Dr. Zuzalak?
Yes.
Mr. Curtis?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next item is a resolution PB 22-12, Slatter Clancy, 87 Memorial Parkway, B61 L4. Need a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second. Majewski.
Mr. Bons?
Yes.
Mr. Papelbon?
Yes.
Councilman Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Johnstone?
Yes.
Mr. Wojcicki?
Yes.
Mr. Majewski?
Yes.
Chairman Bojek?
Yes.
Motion passes.
We're going to skip over to number seven. PB 23-04, Sandy Hook Scooter, 25 West Highland.
Mr. Chairman, we've received a request from the applicant that the application be withdrawn without prejudice. The applicant does not want to proceed at this point. The board has not commenced a hearing on the application, has not taken any testimony or looked at any exhibits in connection with the presentation, so I think it would be appropriate for the board at this point to have a motion second to simply dismiss the application without prejudice, so if they want to reinstate it at some point in the future, they can do that.
I'll move that, Dougherty.
Second, Bons.
Mr. Bons?
Yes.
Mr. Papelbon?
Yes.
Councilman Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Johnstone?
Yes.
Mr. Wojcicki?
Yes.
Mr. Majewski?
Yes.
Dr. Zuzalak?
Yes.
Mr. Curtis?
Yes.
Chairman Bojek?
Yes. Next item is application PB 22-26 Torres, 148 Bayside Drive.
Mr. Chairman, before we go to that, we already announced this in the workshop meeting, but we do have a number six, the K-Lane application, so let me just reiterate that once more.
Sure.
In the regular meeting, that if anyone is here with respect to the K-Lane application, PB 23-02, 160 First Avenue, that is being carried to the 19th of September, 2023, 7 o'clock p.m. in the same room. If you're interested in the application, you need to be here at that date and time for our meeting Zoom proceeding. And no further notice will be provided. Unless there have been substantial changes, I haven't seen any revised applications at this point. I don't know if Doug has. So if there are substantial changes, then they'll have to renotice for that meeting. As of now, I'm not aware.
Thank you, Mr. Stott. I have received the resubmission package with regards to the 161st. We have not completed a review to make a determination yet at this point whether or not it's a substantial change to the original application.
Do you anticipate having that fairly soon, since they would have to notice and have their notice in the paper within the next 2 days?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Stott. Okay. Tourist application.
Mr. Chairman, this is the application. Let me get the correct file out. For Torres, its application is PB 22-26, 148 Bayside Avenue. It's, I've reviewed the service in connection with the application. The service is in order. The board does have jurisdiction to hear the matter. And I'm aware of the following exhibits. Why don't you come forward, please? Come on down.
I'm looking for a microphone to...
It's right here.
Okay.
For your sake.
Just there, right?
We can put it out. Has that exhibit been submitted to the board electronically?
Oh, yes, it has.
Okay, so we can put it up on
this. It's just, okay, this is just a courtesy for the public. So,
they should be able to see it on the screen.
Yes, balance it up over here.
So for the board, I'm aware of a number of exhibits that the board has received in connection with this application. Exhibit A1 is the zoning review from the zoning officer, Michelle Clark. That's dated November 21, 2022. You can have a seat and relax. Exhibit A2 is an application for variance of Javier Torres. That's dated December 5, 2022 with checklist. Exhibit A3 is a survey prepared by Charles Samot. That's dated March 18, 2019. Exhibit A4 is a dormer addition and deck addition plans, elevation and floor plans prepared by Thomas Doris, architect. Now that's dated October 24, 2022. Exhibit A5 is a review number one from your engineer, Stanley Associates. That's dated January 30, 2023. Exhibit A6 is a steep slope analysis and site plan prepared by Alice Tupper, professional engineer. That's dated April 26, 2023. Exhibit A7 is correspondence from engineer Tupper. That's dated June 5, 2023. Exhibit A8 is review number two from your engineer, CME Associates. That's dated July 14, 2023. Exhibit A9 is a freehold soil conservation district letter of exemption. That's dated July 25, 2023. Exhibit A10 is an application for coastal area applicability determination from engineer Cupper. That's dated July 28, 2023. Exhibit A11 is a topographic survey prepared by Charles Sumat, professional engineer, dated February 22, 2023. And Exhibit A12 is a preliminary and final plan prepared by engineer Cupper. That's dated August 3, 2023. Those are the exhibits that I'm aware of that's in connection with the application. And you are?
Hi, I'm Alice Cupper. And Javier Torres, the owner, is here. And
Mr. Torres, would you please come forward? Just come forward and have a seat with your engineer.
And the contractor is supposed to be here. I don't see him. And the architect, Tom, is supposed to be on Zoom.
Well, we'll check
but
that.
I don't know how.
We'll check that as we progress.
Okay.
So in any event, Ms. Cupper, are you going to be the principal presenter of this?
Okay, so.
Would you raise your right hand and be sworn, please? Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And state your full name and address for the record.
Alice Cupper, 16 8th Avenue, Atlanta,
and can you give the board briefly your background, your educational background, and your licensing as an engineer, et cetera?
Okay, I graduated from New Jersey Institute of Technology. I'm a licensed civil engineer in New Jersey and New York City. I've been doing it for a long time.
Okay.
I'm not going to say how long.
your licenses are currently in good standing?
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. Of course.
Okay. And have you given testimony before boards such as this on any planning boards previously?
Yes.
Okay. Does the board have any questions as to this witness? Okay. Qualifications are accepted. What can you tell the board? Let me just backtrack. Mr. Torres, you're the property owner, is that correct?
Yes.
And you asked Ms. Cupper to present your application on your behalf?
Yes.
You don't expect me testifying yourself?
No.
Then I won't swear you in. I'll let you sit down and relax. All right, proceed. Tell the board about the application and why you think variance approval is appropriate.
Okay. The house, that's the existing house there as it looks, and the property survey, and what Mr. Torres wants to do, Mr. Torres and his wife, want to add two dormers to the top and change the shape of the lower deck and the size is not really that much different. It's a couple of feet really. And then they're going to put a deck on the second floor. Well, yeah, that's part of the application, is that there's a controversy about how many floors are in the house. But the where you see that deck now, that's going to be changed a little bit, and then there'll be another deck above it, and then there'll be another deck that's kind of like a widow's walk type of thing. There'll be circular staircases going up. But other than the reconfiguration of the deck, there will not be any added rain, stormwater. There's the house on the property, and there is a garage, and the garage is 1.5 stories. It's actually 14.9 inches, and there is electricity in it. There are utilities, of course, on the property, and it is in a steep slope off the zone. We got a letter from CAFRA, which says there's no applicability for CAFRA. And we got a letter from the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection regarding CAFRA and wetlands, so they said there's no applicability, there's no wetlands near the property, and there's no need for a CAFRA permit.
That being said, was that submitted to the board? I know we have an application for exemption, but I don't know if we ever received it. Did you receive that?
I do believe Ron just received the copy of your EPJD indicating, in accordance with your testimony, it's not regulated by CAFRA or coastal wetlands.
Yes, I believe
and Doug, any testimony you have given or may give in connection with this application, is it true, false, or nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do. Doug Rumpler.
Sorry to interrupt.
That's fine. The house sits at approximately elevation 60. There's a gradual slope down to the road, and then there's a steep slope, all the way down to the county property along the bay, which is about elevation 8. Now, as regards the lower level, because they've said that this is 2.5 story, it's a 2.5 story is required in the R3 zone, but in reality, because the basement is 77% above ground, and the floor above that is more than 3 feet above ground, it would be classified as a story, in my estimation. The house was built in 2005, so I believe at the time we had all the same regulations in place, basically, for steep slope, et cetera, and drainage. So it probably at that time met all those regulations. It's actually a slab on grade. The Board of Health would call it a slab on grade because they've allowed them to put the septic system, the disposal field, I don't know if you could see that, it's kind of the shaded area, that's a disposal field, and it's 15 feet from the house, and by federal regulations, that's okay if it's spot on grade, but if it's a foundation or a cellar, a basement, then it becomes 25 feet from the house, and there would be no room to put. Eventually he's going to have the system replaced. All systems do. And there would be no room to put a bigger system or to put the purpose from the house. So for those purposes, it would need to be qualified as a slab on grade three story. As I mentioned, the dormers will not add anything to the height. It's going to stay the same. We redid the steep slope, because I guess this town's a little more generous than some of the towns I work in, because they make you cut off everything that's in the steep slope or the wetlands and use that to do your zoning calculation. But my understanding is that you use the whole property to calculate some of the calculations. So I think we finally ironed that out. And I think everybody's seen the plan. They have everything is scalable. The zoning is on there. And I haven't heard anything from the engineer that says the zoning list, the recent zoning calculations are wrong. I know I went back and forth a couple of times with that.
Can you just confirm for the record, total floor area, lot coverage, building coverage?
Sure.
And we'll make sure that everything reconciles and any resolution compliance plan.
The lot coverage is 26,594. I think that those other questions are for the architect.
So 26,594 square feet is the lot area,
right?
Correct?
Yes. And yes, 3,000 is required. And what was the other question?
A couple of the, in accordance with our technical review number two, the couple of the inconsistencies we saw amongst the application documents were floor area, lot coverage, and building coverage.
I believe that's all been corrected. I don't know if you've had a chance to review. Yes, it's on the
exhibit. I recognize. Do you have a revision date on this?
I hope so.
Maybe you could check on your documents. This one is August 15, 2018.
Because originally I had done a small sketch for the steep slope. And then when all this other stuff came up, and so I did that drawing and the first page, which has the place to sign and all that stuff, and a list of owners and such.
So is the exhibit that you brought today, is that a correct exhibit you want the board to consider?
I did not realize that exhibit at all, but that's an And I submitted that to the board. 18,000. And also electronic.
Great. Thank you.
So I can clarify this. You were talking about the paragraph 9B with respect to there being some discrepancy between what was received and what was on your zoning compliance grid.
Correct.
So what we're saying that if the board's going to grant this approval, so it will be consistent with the zoning compliance grid that's in your report of July 14th.
Correct. The plans reviewed by my office in support of this application were identified as the steep slope analysis and site plan prepared by Ms. Cupper dated April 26, 2023.
That's what I submitted when we submitted 10 days before. And it went electronic with your office, so
Hello. This is This plan that I have in my packet is approximately 5 years newer. Is that what you're saying? This is 2018.
Okay. I'm sorry. I make mistakes. Yeah, it should be, yeah, 8/15.
Okay.
Did you receive that?
Let me just clarify for the board. The application documents received and reviewed by my office that were utilized to calculate our zoning chart in my July 14, 2023 report consist of two sheets prepared by Ms. Cover. Cover sheet is dated 8/3/2023, and it appears, sheet 2 of 2, which is before you here, it appears to be misdated, dated as 8/15/2018. Can you just confirm that this plan was intended to be dated in the year 2023?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
I made a mistake. I'm falling on the floor.
I forgot the last couple of years, so.
Is there anything further you have in your affirmative testimony before you go to the next witness?
Well, yes. I also submitted a copy of the original drainage plan and septic plan that was when the house was built in 2005, and did the engineer receive it? Did your office receive it?
Was that submitted after our technical review number 2?
July 14, 2020. Yes, definitely. Because I went searching for the old records and stuff.
So let me just confirm I have it in hand. Actually, no, I do not have your previous drainage report on me at this point. Was it submitted to the board?
No, what I submitted was the plan from the original engineer, which we found to be field examination. We found that it matched, and it was done in 2004.
Okay. Do you have a copy of it now? You can use to support your application?
No, I don't. No. No, because it's...
You sent you a copy to my office?
I sent it to the planning board office, and I thought it was in the what she sent around everybody.
I'm just going to check quickly on our board website. And what was the title of the plan? What was the title?
Oh, we're doing it. Go ahead. Do you have the drainage plan?
Yeah, I have it.
Oh, you have it. Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
I see, I believe I see it on our website or our planning board page. You can bring that up in the cover. Great, you can rotate, share.
This is, no, this is.
So this appears to be.
Nothing will change from this.
Operating with subsurface sewage disposal system plan.
And there's also.
Is that what we're looking for, the section?
Yes, that's what I have. But there's also a drainage. Yes, the drainage plan is on here also. It's all from down near the end of the property, near the lower end of the property, you'll see the outlet. And followed up, you'll see the various grates and piping. And then this is the disposal field. But there's vertical meters, all around grates. All water is controlled.
All of this information is included within your sheet 2 of 2, depicted on your plan?
Yes, because I went through and I checked everything out and it was totally agrees with the original.
Is there a title block that we can refer to and date to this plan from 2004 so we can give it a marking that is 813?
Yes, here. I think it's.
So you're on the.
Yeah. This is the title block. This is page 2 of details.
What I'm looking at appears to be drawings prepared by French and Perello Associates and George Cooper,
yes.
Rudolph Architects. And it has a date of, it's dated, but it looks like November 6th.
It's got a couple of different dates on it. The last revision on this was 12/2/03.
We're going to give it, we'll give it a 2004 date to be consistent with your testimony. And that's going to be Exhibit A13.
2004 is when the house is finished, or that's 5 is when it was finished. Yes, so.
And your testimony is that the grading hasn't changed.
Right.
So what's on your map is similar to what the same as looks on. Okay, thank you.
And the topography on your sheet 2 of 2, Ms. Tupper, the source of that topography, I see a note that contour lines below elevation 50 are taken from the county.
Yes.
GIS information. How about uphill is elevation 50? What's the source of that topography?
I believe there's a note on the front page that says survey by Ms. Samantha?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Samantha.
Okay. Are you able to, as a condition of any approvals, submit a copy to the board of that reference survey dated 2/22/23? The survey that I have in my application packet is a boundary survey. It's not topographic.
There was also a topographic survey set.
Two, thank you very much.
This is a survey from Engineer Shamont.
License survey, Charlie Shamont. He did the boundary survey, or I don't know, someone did the boundary survey, and then Charlie did the...
Shall I continue with...
Your presentation.
Okay, I didn't know if you... Okay, this would consider it's a hardship for the owner if he does not get the variances, because mentioned before, the septic system would have to, when it's time comes for him to redo it, would have to be larger than 25 feet from the house, and there's no room. And it's an existing lot, it was probably subdivided on undersized. I don't know when it was subdivided. Any additional stormwater is too little to count for it. I mean, it's probably about a couple square feet of deck. There's no proposed landscaping, no removal of trees. There are 6 parking spaces, plus 2 in the garage. No trees have been removed, and as far as the other items that you mentioned in there about the excavation, there's no work going to be done in the street whatsoever. And you want to address the staging, the construction?
Yes,
Before you testify, I'm going to need you to swear you in. So why don't we finish with Ms. Tucker's testimony and get to you, so that we have some basic order here.
Okay, well, looks like I've covered everything that I possibly
Okay, if that's so...
There's any questions?
Greg, any additional questions that you have that haven't been answered?
I just like to take a minute just to go through our technical review number 2, make sure we get some testimony from you on each of the items that we have concerns with.
Some of the items, well, he's going to address some of the items, and the architect, did he show up online? What is his name? Tom? Well, okay, then.
We'll just ask you to answer the questions that you're able to answer, you answer.
I kind of addressed to that question about is it going to be. There have been no landslides on the property. The additional weight is minimal. It's not going to have an effect on. It's a factor of safety and your foundation, et cetera. That would take the weight of the what little bit of wood we use to code. I don't think a structural analysis was done, but this piece of property has had no landslides or any other kinds of disruption. I know there's other houses nearby that did, but this one has not. And he hasn't got down any trees, so.
Thank you, Ms. Pepper. Just we just go way back to the beginning and clarify exactly what you're proposing to do on the property, specifically in the rear of this existing structure. So you have a rectangular area of pavers, correct?
Yes, that's the deck. And what's going to happen, it's from being rectangular, it's going to be trapezoidal.
So it's going to be enlarged side to side?
But also reduced by a foot. You're going to be a foot closer to the house. And then they're going to walk one story with circular staircase, and then they're going to go up to the cellar story, I guess you refer that to. Do you have the architect's plan?
Yeah, the architect needs to be.
So there'll be new support columns coming down from the elevated deck?
Yes, that's okay. There's the deck up there on the screen, and that's going to be the change. Doesn't have the original, but the original is about a foot further out and comes straight. It's a rectangle. And yes, all of that will be done with four columns.
Okay. And the spiral stair depicted on the right side of the exhibit, that's going to be, there will be a foundation associated with that?
Yeah.
How many stories is the spiral stair?
It goes up one story to the deck, and then there's another stair that goes up, because the second floor deck will be smaller, and the spiral stair will go up, and then to the third deck, it's going to be in further, and there'll be another spiral stair going from the second deck to the third.
Are they stacked, or are they offset?
No, they're offset.
Okay.
And
so there'll be foundation for the second staircase? That'll be brought down to the ground?
I assume the architect knows what they're doing, so.
But you haven't analyzed it yourself or designed the footing?
No.
Will the columns and the stair foundations conflict with that, with the existing septic field?
No, we went out there, we marked it all out, and made sure there won't be any disruption. And then Jeff will address that also.
So, Tina, can you tell us what the distance to the side property line is? And this is your shared lot line with, I believe it's house 134. So the new deck expansion is moving towards the side lot line?
No. It's going to move towards the side lot, but it's not going to go as far as the corner of the house. So there's no encroachment upon lot lines.
Understood. There's going to be new decking. There could be new decking and paper patio closer to the side lot line?
No. Nothing closer to the lot line at all. As far as I know. People can change their mind, but at this point.
So, okay.
The architect is not showing me anything for the owner or anything.
Okay, so your side lot line offset for the existing deck and patio will be maintained?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Specifically on the western side?
Yes.
Okay. So are you aware of the slumping or slope failure that recently occurred?
Yes.
On the adjacent property?
Yes, but they also cut down a few trees.
Okay.
Yes.
What would you say the approximate distance to the slope failure, your proposed paver patio and deck and support columns are? What would you say the distance is separating them?
Just guessing, that's about 200 feet, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not a lot behind.
Is this second one? It's not a... Mine is one, sir.
You're going to testify and get up to swear here. Please raise your right hand if you swear. Do you swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding be the truth, all truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
State your name and address, please.
Javier Torres, 148 Bayside Drive.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the slope tender was on number 140. On lot, yeah, this is 140. The next one is 144 and 148. And actually, the failure was due to bad water management. Because we saw the pipes just bursting water for 2 or 3 days back in May 30th. And that was what moved them. I think they need to redo the drainage or something.
My concern is any additional work, disturbance, or drainage being directed to this already disturbed, unstable portion of the slope could further exacerbate it or cause some issues approximate to your slope. Your septic system appears to be located right at the top of the slope. Your disposal field is right at the top of the slope, and the proposed expansion is toward in the direction of the slope. So what measures are being taken with this application to ensure there's no additional drainage being directed toward the slope or disturbance to the top of the slope with the construction of the footings?
There is no drainage going toward my side of it. I mean, if anything of the three properties, I have the better drainage. My house is the newest one with for that 12 inches pipe, you know, like industrial size drainage is really good drainage. I had an interview with the architect that built the house. This guy Guru, he's an architect. He built the house with his wife. An architect from New York. The house is very small. We are the only property of those three that has a geocell component on the slope to hold the slope tight. I mean, in his own words, it's very solid, very stable.
So, Ms. Coverage, is it your opinion that additional building area disturbance can be handled by the existing drainage system?
Yes. It's only really a couple of feet difference in the patio, the shape of the patio. It's 10% slope in that whole area of his backyard. Say he's, you know, he's got a very, very stable wall there. And there, other than sinking some sono tubes down for the piers of the deck, there really won't be any disturbance.
So the contours depicted on your plan, taken from the Charles Dumont topographic survey, indicate the runoff along the sides of your structure and to the rear flow of the land in a northwesterly direction. Is that being collected by the inlet on site, or yes, is it going on to your neighbor's yard?
No, nothing goes on the neighbor's yard. They've got a little piping along here. There's drainage here, goes around, picks up a number of grates here from the garage, goes back here, there's grates back here, and it all comes together there.
And you've inspected the system, it's fully functional.
Yeah, I cleaned up the big one last week. We put water pressure and the solar water going down. The pipes are clean. They are huge pipes. I know because I had to replace one of the couplers under it.
Continuing on with the comments within my July 14th report. I guess your architect will talk about the proposed building expansions, the dormers, the change in bedrooms, or do you want to talk about that now? And the reason is the parking requirement, so...
No, that parking requirement, that was quoted, was only for street parking. We have six parking spaces on our property, plus the two in the garage. So, and you could fit more times and more cars if you want to.
So total number of proposed bedrooms will be?
Five.
Five. That will require three off-street parking stalls, and you have at least three.
Six.
Thank you. Did you have any, additional photos that you can share with the board of the rear yard area itself? Not looking back, but looking at where the drainage is going to flow to.
Let's identify it first and then we'll go.
Sorry, I thought I printed out a copy of the drain, but this is from his deck, and the drain is over here. And this was just when we were looking for wetlands. This is the county monument, and then it's one of the fat here, that's not our property line. But 50 feet this way is what used to be borough property, but it's now McCola is on that strip, that strip. His property is back up here.
That was the photo you had before that.
That's the wall. And then from there, just this.
Is it all right if we, if I circulate this to the board?
Absolutely.
This is going to be 815 and 816. I understand there's two photos, one a photograph from the deck to the rear of the property, another a photograph of the wall on the property.
Then there's, I don't know if you want this one.
Do we still not have the architect on Zoom?
What is the question? Or what was it? It was Tim what?
From Tom.
Tom. No.
Okay. This one is 816.
I mean, okay.
No.
I have a picture on my phone of what they have during.
Do you have a picture of the drone itself?
Yeah.
Just one of the exits, roughly.
And Mr. Stock, there was a third photo in the group. I've indicated to be 817.
Okay.
That is the railing in the foreground. Looking north. Thank you. And these are people that you can see them. Thank you.
I just make one quick suggestion. If you feel that the testimony of your architect is important enough that we hear, asking for a postponement might not be the worst idea. It's up to you. We're very happy to continue.
Yeah, we also have are
your questions satisfied about the weight of the building, et cetera, or do you want to talk to the architect?
Did you perform any calculations that the existing foundation can handle it?
I didn't get an answer to that question.
Okay.
Can he's on the phone now? Or?
No. Apparently he's not. He's not. But what I'm suggesting, an option would be to request a postponement until the architect is here, because still his testimony.
It says here, let me see, I left some of his notes, but
260-pound, 200-foot foundation under new dormers. That's sad, but I would think.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
His note that he sent me today, it says that they calculated 260-pound linear foot at the foundation under the new dormers. So the weight of the dormers will be 260 pounds per linear foot at the foundation level, passed down to the foundation level. Does anybody understand that part?
How old is the structure?
2005.
So the foundation sticker.
Somebody has to verify that it's sound, right? I don't know if you...
I would say it's sound because today there's a large factor of safety in foundation.
No, I agree. I'm just...
Yeah, once you can make the drawings of the foundation and the thickness and, you know, all the specs of the feet, we should have...
They would, they would be necessary to support any future building permit applications, right? The foundation drawings and those details.
So Doug, let me just interrupt. I mean, the focus, it hasn't been the focus of this whole proceeding as far as the building height. That's the variance they're asking for, is building height. And we've talked about everything other than building height. So can we focus on building height and get that issue, and if there are other issues that need to be made conditions the board chooses to approve the application, then let's make them conditions that they provide that information to the satisfaction of the board engineer and the satisfaction of the construction department, and let's get on to the focus of what the applicant is here for, which is height variance. And the height variance, so that you're aware of, it's to have three stories. Your ordinance provides that you can have 2.5 stories or a 35-foot building. As I understand it, this building and what's being proposed is going to be 31.5 feet, so it doesn't violate a foot height. It is 3 stories, so it violates the 2.5-story height. Given that it does not increase the height by 10% or 10 feet, it's not a D variance, so you're in a C variance. Right. That's it. I mean, that's the issue that's before you. All this other stuff is peripheral, and I understand because of the nature of Atlantic Highlands and slump blocking and all that other stuff that there has to be care given, but that can be given in the context of conditions if the board decides to grant approval. If the board decides not to grant an approval because they don't agree with the variance, then everything else is irrelevant anyway.
Is the height of the front of the house and the height of the back of the house different? So we should be going to the height of the front of the house.
No, this thing.
Yeah, it's fine.
There's also
the front of the house is 3 foot above grade.
Because it's 3 stories, so they're taking the grades from the lowest level.
No, it's not the way it's supposed to go from the front of the house. And you're allowed to have,
basement pressure. Right, so it's the average grade at the front.
You're allowed to have 75% of the foundation showing, too, on that. So you're supposed to go from the height of the front of the house, and it has nothing to do with any of the foundation showing in the back.
Oh, right, yes. Yes, I know.
So what is the height of the front of the house?
There's a basement there. This is the same room as that. Does everyone have this?
Excuse me. Doug, can you clarify everything?
Yes. So in
the height of the front of the house and exposure to foundation.
The building height is measured from the average grade along the front of the house to the highest point. It's depicted correctly in the upper left portion of the plan. And when I say the plan, I'm referring to sheet 2 of 2 prepared by Ms. Tupper. So the height itself complies at 30.5. The issue is going from two-story to the third story.
Well, okay.
The first, the lowest level was calculated by the applicant to be 77% above grade, so it's not a cellar making it exempt from the story criteria. So that lowest level counts as a story.
I don't agree. I think we're allowed to have 75% of the foundation showing, and that's still not considered a story. It's they're going by the front of the the property. This was decided because there was a conflict. When you're standing in front of the house, there was, they were saying that there would be one story showing, and because it was on a slope, they used to calculate that as two stories. So we changed that ordinance that we were precipitately going from the front of the house because there was a conflict with the front of the house and the amount of story. So I think you're good. That's the way I interpret it. And even though you have 75% of the foundation showing, they're still good. We don't consider that a story.
You get 77.
So it's 77.
Too proud. Yeah, it's too proud. It was very complicated when we tried to address this problem that's unique to Atlantic, not a problem, but the characteristic unique to the borough where we have roads traversing steep slope. So on the downslope side, if you recall, we created this exhibit 5-5. It's that drawing that shows the front elevation. And in order to meet the definition of a cellar, we do look at the finished grade at the front of the house. If we take the average grade at the front of the house and make that relative, there's the 3-foot height requirement from that average outside grade at the front of the house to the inside, there's that maximum. You have to meet that prong to be considered a cellar. The second prong to be considered a cellar is within the definition itself that was updated in 2021 as well at the same time. We're reading this cellar, the definition of story, wholly or partially underground and having no more than 75% of its cubic volume above the average level of the adjoining ground. So that's the entire area around it, not just at the front. The applicant's calculation showed 77%. So I believe in this instance, that lowest level does not get the story exemption under the cellar definition, therefore becoming a basement counts as a story.
Okay.
With the next, the dormers kick it from 2.5 to 3.
Okay. So the difference is 2% of the foundation showing? For being in, for not needing, okay.
You're close. Yeah, you're close.
All right,
trigger
mechanism.
Yes.
Okay. I understand that better now. Thank you.
And then the other issue would be that it's a cellar. If it's a basement, if it's a slab on grade, which it is, okay, if it's a slab on grade, you can have your septic system 15 feet from the house. If it's not, then it has to be 25 feet from the house. And we kind of don't have that kind of room. And then the other issue is that if it is a class as a basement, as a cellar, if there's a bathroom there, that's what the Board of Health wants you to increase. Maybe sometimes they will ask you to increase by 50% the size of the septic and the bed.
So I don't want to muddle definite borough definitions and the septic reg definitions. Everybody's got different definitions. So in terms of our development regs here in the borough, Chapter 150, the proposed application is in violation of the max story requirement. I understand what you're saying, but our definition is not going to impact the septic rules and regs itself. So height, I agree with Mr. Seib, is the primary reason that we're here today, three stories where 2.5 is proposed. I do want to note further down in my report, page 3, with regards to the steep slope numeric criteria, the site itself exceeds the max allowable lot coverage. So that's why I'm drawing specific attention to the any additional drainage, any rerouting of drainage, especially due to your proximity to the top of the slope. Coupling that with the fact that there was slope failure in immediately adjacent to this area of proposed work. It's on the next parcel.
Yeah, can I say something? My house is like this, right? I'm not going to go any higher than this. And what I want to do is this. That's all. And then I want to have it back here and back here.
You're conforming to the existing height?
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to add anything to that.
We so have yeah, so with the variance kicking in because yeah. It's he's just adding a story. Is that right? So now we're going from 2.5 to 3.
I'm not even adding any.
No,
any
technically, according to a half a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, right. Not adding anything to height at all.
No, according to our borough's definition, you're adding another story to the house. You're not changing the height at all. But the dormers and the bedrooms will constitute a new.
It's constantly 2.5 story to a 3 story.
I don't agree with that because the policy, I have this. Okay, this is my lot. Okay? The thing is, if I start walking here, I'm going to hit the ceiling, right? So I want to do this. So I can walk all the way here and gain this triangle that I have for storage. I want to be able to walk all the way here.
So
that's all I'm doing.
That
I'm not
right now is a bit of a space, is what you're saying.
Yes, the 2 is now.
Yeah.
The top story is now.
So it's a little space now.
Yeah, right now it's storage. It's a triangle. I have boxes in because I cannot walk. If I walk, I'm going to hit the ceiling.
The definition's changed 2 years ago. That's the point. Is because the definition's changed, and we're looking at this. Through a different lens. That's all. I mean, I completely understand what you're saying. We're agreeing with you. We understand you're not raising the ultimate height of the building, but in terms of under the definitions of this chapter 150 and the cellar basement definitions that were passed in 2021, were clarified in 2021, it's going from 2.5 stories to 3 stories. And that's what we're here to talk about.
Right.
I have a question, understanding that the height is the concern, but I did want to have just a point of clarification. In your professional opinion, is there any concern with the temporary disturbance from the construction equipment to that slope?
No, there will not be. And I can have the contractor explain how he's going to do all the work.
Yeah.
I would like to hear that.
Yeah.
But before we do that,
you can come here and sit at the lunch.
Just a moment. Are there any other questions from the board? And do we have any questions from the public for this witness?
I do have a question, actually. I think it's just a clarification of your drawings. On sheet A201, detail 2. I'm looking at the proposed rear elevation compared to the existing rear elevation. And it looks like in the proposed rear elevation that there's a bunch of fill on the side, and I just want to make sure that that's not happening versus the existing rear elevation. Where I drew the pink, the line is the grade beyond line shifts up.
I don't know. This is the architect's plan, and I don't know.
I didn't see that anywhere else in the plans, but I did see it there.
You really have to go by the survey, and the, because we're not changing any elevations at all.
Okay, as long as no elevations are proposed, like, I'm gonna just assume it's debris from the drafting, so, okay, thank you.
Well, we're gonna finish with this one.
James Krause, 77 Bayside Drive. Just want some clarification on the septic system. How many bedrooms is the septic system, the current septic system designed for?
Actually, it's a little over as far as the septic tank goes, but it's for 4 bedrooms.
Okay, and this addition will end up with 5 bedrooms. Okay, thank you.
No, no, I'm sorry. It's 5, my mistake.
Is it 5 or 6?
Nick, I'm gonna say that.
Yeah, I don't know if I had that cap. It should be on that other.
Yeah, the septic is 1,250 gallons.
Yeah, so that's five.
Is that five bedroom?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you know, once I have the bedrooms up there, if approved. I mean, I'm not gonna use for 5 bedrooms. It's actually in my house, and it's just my wife and myself, and then when the kids come from college. But I'm planning to have an office and an exercise room or something on the bedrooms right now that are in the basement. Which is, you know, it's the whole thing. I wanna do 2 bedrooms because of the light and the, yeah. Especially having up there. Better view and better light. That's what I wanna do.
So
the testimony was septic is currently sized for
5,
and you're proposing 5. Mm-hmm. Again, this is something that would be flushed out at the building department.
I just have one question regarding the drainage and the discharge. So if I'm looking at the plan for the existing yard drains, are they discharging way down the slope, like,
yes,
to the north?
They go through a pipe.
And then there's a riprap,
yes,
down there?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the current path right now?
Yes.
Okay, just to be clear.
And that's all we're working on.
And the leader drains are currently tied into that as well?
Yes. Hmm.
There's dry wells first, though. There's dry wells first. It doesn't. No?
No, there's
a drain.
In the drain.
Oh, okay.
Drain.
There's dry wells.
Yeah, I know. If you put dry wells there, that really would slide the slope down.
Are there any other questions from the public for this witness? Are there any on Zoom?
Nobody has their hand raised.
Thank you very much, Ms. Tupper.
Sir, would you raise your right hand and be sworn? Do you swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And name and address, please.
Jeffrey Dunn, 28 Willow Drive, Chester, New Jersey.
Go ahead.
Any questions?
Why don't you tell us about yourself,
how
your qualifications are, what your relationship is with this application, what you've done in connection with it?
Well, so I'm a licensed contractor in the state of New Jersey and also a licensed builder. Mr. Torres hired me to put 2 dormers on the house and the decks in the front of the house. The way I'm going to accomplish this would be the raw materials would be staged in the driveway, in front of the garage. We'll access the roof area with the dormers on the east and the west side, with ladders and pump jacks. We know equipment going anywhere on the property where we're going to be doing any construction. The footings in the rear of the building for the jacks will be hand dug with sonotubes and poured in accordance with the requirements for footings. And then construct, you know, the decks. I would say probably 70% of the construction work of the dormers will take place inside the house as opposed to outside. The outside would be access for framing and roofing and siding. The rest of it would be demolition and construction would be from the inside. I'm going to have a dumpster on site. Up at the top, he has two car parking up at the street level. I'll have a 10-yard dumpster up there. That's all I'll need. Won't be a lot of debris for demoing two roofs for dormers. Other than that, that's within, you know, inside the house we'll be doing some internal structural work as well.
Doug, do you have any questions?
Very quickly, how do you envision moving the concrete for your footings from the
The concrete will be mixed on site. It's not going to be a lot of concrete. In any concrete that we mix, we could probably mix it right there at the footing. So there won't be any concrete trucks involved or anything like that. The most would be a wheelbarrow.
And then the spiral stairs, how are they going to move to the backyard?
They could be moved by hand to the backyard.
Okay.
Anything else?
Thanks. Any questions for the board?
Thank you.
Any questions from the public for this witness? Anybody on Zoom with a hand up?
No.
All right. Thank you very much.
So the question becomes, Mr. Torres, since we do not have your architect on Zoom, do you want the board to proceed with this application at this point, or would you prefer the board to adjourn the application so that you can get your architect to provide testimony to them? It's your call.
No, I would like the board to proceed.
Okay. Right. Is there any further testimony that you want to give, or any presentation of any exhibits, any additional exhibits before the board deliberates?
No, I just want to point out that one thing that wasn't brought up during this whole proceeding is that Mr. Torres' house sets back quite a bit towards the road, away from the slope, than the other adjacent homes that had had problems. He sits on a flat plateau, a good-sized flat plateau. So I don't see where he's in any jeopardy of having any erosion factors where we're building where the house is. It sits so far back and it's flat for quite a ways in both directions. It's the only observation I wanted to point out.
Thank you very much. Any
public comments?
Yeah, any comments from the public?
Mr. Drasko, let me swear you in. Do you just swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, all truth, nothing but the truth?
I do. James Krause, 77 Bayside Drive. As many of the board know, since I live on Bayside Drive and I've been involved with some steep slope issues on my own property, and also a member of the Environmental Commission for close to a dozen years, while I'm no longer on the board. But in view of this application, a couple of comments. One is the issue of stories is to me a little bit irrelevant. I know it's the law, but on this particular property, it's not adjacent at the rear where it would be three stories to another residential property. In fact, it faces New York City, where the buildings are pretty tall. from the road, it's only, I guess it'll be either one and a half or two stories. And it's only 2%. Sounds like the septic size is okay. That's always a concern because that's putting water into the hill, water in later than the enemy. And as long as everyone's happy with the stormwater runoff and Mr. Romeyer's happy, I think he should approve the application.
Thank you, Mr. Krause. Yeah. Any other comments in the public? Is there any comments on Zoom? Any hands up?
Well, the architect said they've been trying to get through since 7 p.m. and the same way he's helping me tell them how to access. So they haven't been missing an action, they just have technical issues.
Can I just go to your website and sign the line?
Can we make a motion?
Well, why don't we deliberate, and if there is a board member that feels that would require some information from the architect, then it's looking at it. Yeah. Okay, so board discussion.
So I actually have a lot of questions about this, but literally nothing to do with the variance that's requested. I'd like to understand the pounds, the linear, whatever, the pounds that the decks are going to turn on, the slope, everything like that. But regarding what we have to, within our court.
Purview.
Yeah. Whatever's in our purview, within our court, it's the story height and, I don't know, I think I'm looking more at the maximum building height, and it's under that. Mm-hmm. So, I personally don't have a problem with the stories being 3 versus 2.5.
Yeah, I don't know. I think as long as they maintain the temporary drainage while they're doing construction on site, just to eliminate or alleviate impact to surrounding, to their neighbors, I don't have any issue with that.
Especially the footings are going to be hand dug. I'd be concerned if there were heavy machinery, any machinery whatsoever, yeah, on that site, but if it's by hand,
they're carrying the materials.
Exactly.
Right. And that's being used on site too, so.
Yeah.
Right. Not like bringing a truck in.
I do have a question. Doesn't our construction department handle all of those things that we're discussing here? That's not really anything to do with the planning authority, that you might have expertise in that matter?
No, I think the concern was the potential cost for erosion or instability on the slope, which would raise a concern to this board.
Even though we have a construction department. That's what I'm trying to
do. Yeah.
As a new person, so it does concern us as well.
Okay.
Yeah. I can make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Mr. Kakuma made a motion to approve.
Second, Majewski.
Mr. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Kakuma?
Yes.
Councilman McGafferty?
Yes.
Mr. Jasko?
Yes.
Mr. Kakuma?
No.
Mr. Majewski?
Yes.
Dr. Zuzula?
Yes.
Mr. Chris?
Yes.
Chairman Colt?
Yes. Thank you very much. I know that was busy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So
we're going
to press on the action. Anybody need a break?
So,
anybody need a break?
Okay.
When the resolution is written up, then
the resolution will be adopted at next month's meeting.
Next month's meeting, the resolution will be adopted.
Okay.
I
have a copy of what the resolution is actually going to say.
When it's ready.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sure. Okay, the next application, PB23-03, Ruane Dewis, 6 Bonnie Gray Path.
Mr. Chairman, this does involve a floor area ratio variance, so the last one of three members will have to recuse themselves. And Mr. Chairman, I'm aware of the following exhibits that were received in connection with this application. They include Exhibit 1. That's
Just waiting for our architect to come in as well.
Zoning review of the zoning officer, Michelle Clark, that's dated February 17, 2003. Exhibit A2 is the application for variance to the land in Lewis, that's dated March 27, 2023. Exhibit A3 is a site plan and floor plans with elevation drawings dated March 31, 2023. Exhibit A4 is a survey prepared by R&L Land Surveying, that's dated January 4, 2023. Exhibit A5 is review number one from your engineer, CME Associates, that's dated May 19, 2023. Exhibit A6 are additions and alterations plan prepared by Paul A. Damiano, that's dated May 22, 2023. Exhibit A7 is a letter from the architect, Mr. Damiano, that's dated May 30, 2023. Exhibit A8, survey prepared by R&T Land Surveying, that's dated January 4, 2023. Exhibit A9 is a plan prepared by architect Damiano with photographs and stated March 31, 2023. Exhibit A10 is a review number two from your engineer, CME Associates. That's dated July 7, 2023. Those are the exhibits that I'm aware of thus far received in connection with the application. And who are the applicants?
I'm going to do it. It's my husband, Patrick Lorraine, and Paul Damiano, who's our architect.
Will all of you be testifying, or just one?
Potentially, because we won't agree on something.
All of you, please stand and raise your hand. Raise your hand, please. You can affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this application will be the truth, nothing but the truth. And state each name, ladies, first name and address.
Nancy Dewis, 6 Bonnie Gray Path, Atlantic Islands, New Jersey.
Patrick Williams, 6 Bonnie Gray Path, Atlantic Islands, New Jersey.
Paul Damiano, 1721 Beverly Avenue, Springlake Heights, New Jersey.
Thank you. Please. Okay. We would like to kick off and tell the board about the application, what you're trying to accomplish, and why you think that it's appropriate for the board to decide whether to this case.
Okay. So, anyway, 1999, we purchased our house on Bonnie Gray Path, and there's considerable construction on it. 17 dumpsters, as a matter of fact, came out of Buster and Laugh out of that house, but regardless. And we need to update it. We did a lot of work then, but we did not touch the bathrooms or the kitchen. And we spent a lot of our time, most of our time in Chicago now, and we want to come back. Well, Patrick wants to come back. I want to stay in Chicago, but part of the deal was if he would let me get a new kitchen, then I would consider coming back. And that's the God's honest truth. But yeah, so anyway, the house is antiquated. And it needs to be updated. So that's what I have to say. Do that.
Okay. I can take you through the specifics of what we're doing. Should I give testimony about me?
She gives you credentials.
All right. I've been a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey for the past 30 years, for the last 25 years for Paul A. Damiano Architects, which is a small firm in Spring Lake Heights, basically two or three people for the duration, doing mostly custom residential and small commercial. Appeared in front of 20 to 30 boards in the state of New Jersey, including this one, I think, within the last 5 years for a project on Bayside, testifying as an architect.
Thank you.
We're having any questions about his credentials? You're accepted as an architect, and why don't you proceed and explain to the board what your application is about?
Thank you. I'm used to pointing at boards, not the screen, but could you bring up maybe number four?
A4?
Or A4? Sure, that might be a good place to start. Okay, maybe that's what you part of A4. Can you go down a little bit for A4? Okay. All right, that's not the A4 I have, so we're not going to do that one. I did have a revised A4 that was mentioned in the... in the write-up. So, did you happen to have this one?
Yes, that's it.
There's a date, 5/20. You know what? No matter. Let's just do A1. Let's just do A1. Basically, it's a, we've got a single family dwelling in an R3 zone, where the R3 zone requirement is 30,000 square feet and 100 foot frontage. What we've got is essentially a 40 foot wide property. It's really, it's listed as 48 because the lot width is taken up. They have a front yard. But essentially, the house is 28 feet wide, the principal part of the house, which is 5 feet off the westerly property line and 6.5 feet off the eastern property line, with the exception of there is a garage with a deck that comes within 1.3 feet of the easterly property line, and there's a deck that comes to within 0.8 feet of the property line. So on A1, the big picture to look at is the first picture on the top right. And that you will see the retaining wall with the grade is up high towards the left, and then it dips down for the garage. For the garage to drive in on the right side of the lot. There's a large chimney in front really blocking the house that's behind it. The proposal is essentially to remove that chimney and keep the base of the chimney and step it back 18 inches to create a brick planter base to actually see the building behind it. And then you can see in the, if we can scan up to the site plan, the plot plan.
What is that?
On A1. Over to the top left. And maybe zoom in a little bit. That'd be great. Thanks. Okay, so there's a proposal to do, there's a hatched line that shows basically where a one-story addition is proposed to bump out a kitchen. The idea is to have the kitchen not hidden from the rest of the house, but to try to join the kitchen to the rest of the house. So the first floor is being proposed to bump over what is building that 58 square feet, so that adds 58 square feet to the first floor. The second hatched line behind it, which is a less intense hatch, is a proposed second floor addition that comes out front, which is 116 square feet. The purpose for that addition is to create a primary bedroom closet. And then there is a hatched line to the rear, where there is an existing sort of closet with a low headroom, so there's roof there, and the idea is to bump the roof higher to be able to create room for a primary bedroom. Right now, on the second floor, there are two bedrooms, including the primary bedroom and a guest bedroom. They both share a bath. So basically, the proposal. Now, if we could go maybe to the So you can see what there's a dashed blue line in the center. So because there, you were good with the last year. There's a dashed blue line. It's really faint, but it's in an R3 zone. The setbacks, the side setbacks are 15 feet, and the front setback is 25 feet. So
we basically have a 10-foot wide swatch of area that they'd be able to legally do something. So obviously hardship is an undersized lot, especially when you look at the properties next door. So where the existing front yard to the garage clip is 4.7, the proposed first floor addition is at 16.9 feet off the property line, and the proposed second floor addition doesn't start till 22.9 feet off the property line. So those were, and then those are 6.5 feet off the side property line. So you can see what they are. If you, there, I don't know if the neighbors here, there was discussion with the neighbor. The neighbor.
The
neighbor next door about, if you zoom out a little bit, keeping any sort of extension out of view of their building footprint. You can kind of see where that angled footprint would go to. There's no increase in volume to that. If you might scan down a little bit on that one picture. A little more. Let's see the picture.
It's very late.
I'm very polite.
The middle picture, the one a little to the right on the screen, you can see where there's the neighbor's house versus this house, and you know what proximity they are. And essentially, the proposed two-story space is going over the one-story bump out, and then the one-story bump out would come out 7 to 8 feet further for that 58 square feet. So in the end, that 1,246 square foot first floor would add 58 square feet, and the 707 square foot second floor would be adding 116 square feet. And then there'd be increasing volume of 47 square feet. If you want to go to A2, we can show you what's going on in the plan.
It's not you.
Sorry.
That would be me.
In the plan, so the nothing's going on downstairs, but the kitchen was really a galley kitchen behind the stair with a place for a table that was kind of behind some walls. So the idea is to really open up some walls and put the working part of the kitchen where you could, yes, see out the back to see the water and see the rest of the living area and the dining room, and just so that first floor works like one open floor plan, but there's still a guest bedroom on that, the other corner. On the second floor, you come up the stairs, and that front bump out is proposed to be the his and hers closet. Bedroom really isn't getting any bigger. The bathroom area off to the top right is where the proposed roof line is popping up to create headroom to have basically a double vanity, a shower, and a toilet. It's stealing a little bit from the existing bath that would remain for the guests upstairs. So there's no proposal to add any bedrooms. So there's no really intensification of use. It is more of a convenience. Let's have our own bathroom and a walk-in closet for all our stuff. That's what the... if you want to go to the third, or the elevations. A3?
Yes.
A3, so we were... And we're leaving the right side. Once the chimney's away, you can kind of make out the red chimney, just trying to like get a window so you can see out and see the house. And then just a matching gable in the closet, and letting some light in. So the side elevation shows how it steps back.
And then on the bottom, actually the bottom, bottom right, you can see there's, the roof line is there, it's being popped up so the plane of the existing roof continues across the house to create headroom for the bath, for the bathroom, for the new bathroom, for the primary bedroom. So that's essentially, and then changing the back, you know, windows, they're fixed windows right now, it'd be nice to open them up and get a view, so that was more of a Juliet house. But the building coverage is unchanged. The FAR did increase. I think I need to go through the specifics, but the reality is most of these are existing, but you can see where the real proposal is those hatched areas within the setback, given the nature of it and the fact that it was, you know, it was, they owned it before it was rezoned into R3. That's kind of what the discussion is about. In terms of the, should we go through this letter? There's a lot of.
Maybe I can direct you to some areas within the letter.
Before you do that, while Doug's getting set, just as a matter of clarification, the three additions that we're talking about, there are three variances here that are called out, which are setback variances. And they're existing conditions, are they not, with the first four, but we're now extending up and following the same line.
Not on the same line. That was sort of the point of, all right, the existing garage has a front setback of 4.7 square feet, but the second floor, or the first floor isn't being proposed to be raised until 16 feet in, and the second floor isn't being proposed until it's 20 something square feet in. So it's much for the proposed, it's not continuing the variance, it's not the same intensity.
It's not the same intensity.
Yeah.
They're set back further, but they still don't conform.
But they still don't conform given the 50 40-foot lot with 15 foot each side.
Thank you. Yeah, I concur with that. Well, the would you agree that the proposed building additions all are proposed within the existing footprint? Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. So, yes, I agree that while the front yard setback currently is 4.4 feet, 25 is required, there's a portion of new addition being proposed within the setback area. Therefore, I've indicated additional variance relief is needed for front side and combined side. Staying on page 2 of my report, I do note R3 zone, 30,000 square foot minimum lot size required. The lot itself is roughly a third of that, 10,051 square feet. So couple that with the frontage being approximately half the required amount. That's why I believe that's why you're running into setback requirements on the side as well. The big one that we're here for is the FAR, right? The floor area ratio. So the additions are going to increase the floor area ratio on this site by approximately 2%. The lowest level, the basement level, is that 7 foot ceiling height or greater?
We counted 50% of the basement level for the FAR.
On page 2, just can you please confirm that there's no grading modification to the site itself?
That's correct. We're not.
No change in drainage patterns, correct?
Correct.
Roof leader collection systems are going to be maintained, or will it be modified in any way?
No, same location.
Discharge. No change to discharge. Page 3 of my report under item 4 lists a series of variances and design waivers. Do you agree with those numbers? I can go through them very quickly. They were included in the report.
Yes, there, and a lot of them are existing, where, you know, the pointy feet for that deck, but where we're, you know, we're really 5 and 6.5 feet. We're still in 15 feet from. But yes, I agree with what's listed here as existing non-conformance.
I do want to focus a little on the D4 variance for floor area ratio, which appears on page 4. You discussed the general nature of the building itself, the massing, and how your proposed structure is in line with the surrounding buildings, specifically characteristics of size for this lot.
Okay, and I think we go back to the elevations and to the site plan, and even where it's hard to see the house that there's so much planting, but it is fairly obscure by planting, where it is, you know, closer to the that existing house that's much larger. You know, we did step down. Actually, literally had some talks with the neighbor. We were originally going to put the stair there that was taller. He didn't like that, so we did adjust the design and in that discussion to step it down and step it a little further back. So the first, you know, the one-story addition is certainly almost going to be harder to see. The second story addition was broken down by a small gable and does not go all the way up to the existing ridge, but keeps lower than the existing ridge. And there's more buffer on the other side. It's even hard to see the other house from the rear. It's hard to see the western house on the rear. There's some of the plant.
Can you give an estimation or dimension between this separation distance between the subject dwelling and the adjacent dwellings?
Twenty-five feet from the eastern property is look on A4. Actually, it's about the same. So there is an aerial right in the middle of A1 where you can see the adjacent house. They're about the same distance apart on both sides.
So you're talking approximately 20 feet.
I think it's more like 25 if I go. Take the because if that's 15 to 10, yeah, it's 25 or 26, something like that.
And you're not getting the proposed building additions, do not bring the subject structure closer to those adjacent buildings, correct?
Correct.
Okay. With regards to the FAR request, how is the subject lot suitable or able to handle the expansion of the building itself? Right? Are you going to be bringing additional cars on site? Are you creating additional impervious area?
No, there's really no intensity of use. It's a convenience of for the people that are living in there just to have that that master bedroom and to have an open kitchen that opens to the rest of the house, trying to make it more like the houses we built today.
And so let's talk about parking very quickly. How many existing and proposed bedrooms will there be?
There's three. Okay. Yeah, there's three, and there's going to be three. The parking, there's basically a parking spot in the garage, and there's parking on the street for a lot of Bonnie Bray. That's where I generally park.
So our code requires for a three-bedroom, single-family home, two off-street parking stalls. So Can you show me on your site plan where two cars can park?
No, they're not going to be defensive. They're able to observe the garage.
Can park it, can access the garage?
Yeah,
that's a paper.
Fairly good view of that. Right, you've got the garage that's accessed from the street, and then there's a retaining wall that really blocks.
So can I just interject for a moment? If I could just interject for a moment. So when we get our packets and we do a research, we'll ride around and take a look. Bonnie Bray's the village street anyway, right? You know, I didn't even want to walk down there. I was like, you know.
But it's a paper road that goes down to the Harmon's house.
So I guess my question is can we use a path? It's not really a street, do you know what I mean? This is something new for me anyway, you know. Because it's not a street.
Is it?
What does your survey show? Is it our right of way?
This right in front of the
driveway. That's a street.
No, it's not. It's a paper road.
Yeah.
But it's a shared driveway. But it's also owned by.
I've been there. Is the current garage a two car garage?
No, it's one car garage.
Can you fit one car in that garage and one car in front of it?
It looks like there's two doors.
No, and this has been existing, and I mean, it's only my husband and I, we don't have any kids. She has a lot of family, but.
So how do you park when you go to your house?
We just park up on the street.
Because I did see car parks, which I'm assuming would. Bonnie Bray path, right? Like, there is, you are able to park on Bonnie Bray, is that correct?
Uh-huh, yes.
But correct me if I'm wrong, it just doesn't happen to be directly in front of your house. Well, you can't. It's obviously right there. It's not like you have to walk a block. But for our purposes, there's no stall.
No.
Because you couldn't.
It's possible.
But you are able to park on Bonnie Bray.
Yes.
Is really
the
point I'm trying to make.
There's about approximately four spots.
Yes.
That are shared.
Okay.
And then just with regards to the foundation itself, can you give us some information about the condition of the existing foundation and the ability to support the proposed additions, or will there be any work proposed to the foundations?
We talked to the builder who did that garage. I put a 2-foot by 1-foot concrete. I mean, there's a good foundation there that we could utilize, and we're not really adding a whole lot of load to it. We're just going to put a beam across.
Okay, for the purpose of this board, you're not anticipating improvements to the foundation?
No.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Do you have any more to add, or before we move on?
I think we got it.
Now, do you have anything that you'd like to add?
No, thank you.
Okay.
I just would like it if you would prefer
it. Do you have any questions from the public? Do you have any questions on Zoom? Questions from the board? I mean, essentially, like, if it's the floor ratio, that's the big deal. I mean, you're not adding to the intensity. They're making it more modern, more open, more airy. Thank God my wife's not here because. It's not all fun.
I think she's on Zoom though. It's only
3%. 2% exactly. It's not. Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at anyway. This is not.
I think also the additions are not going towards the dangerous,
right?
Which is already
it's
going
away. Yeah.
Yeah. In my opinion, it's all pre-existing conditions that the variance is for primarily anyway for setbacks, which they're not going beyond those. So.
I consider inside of the lot, there's not much of a choice.
It's one of the alterations in addition. Any comments from the public?
I'm a neighbor and I'm for it. And it's still my sweater. Can I breathe? We're neighbors. We're neighbors. We share sweaters.
I should have done that before our discussion. I apologize. All right, so where are we at?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second, Josko.
Mr. Powell?
Yes.
Mr. Josko?
Yes.
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 Mr. Curtis?
Yes.
Ms. Walter?
Yes.
Chairman Patrick?
Yes. Thank you.
That was unanimous. Thank you so much.
Good luck.
Really appreciate it. I was so scared and so nervous. You guys are really nice, and I didn't say you were going to be really nice. Thank you. Thank you.
Right, we're going to take a 5-minute break. We'll resume at 9:05.
Mr. Chairman, the next item of business is the CB 2306 Harborside, 41st Avenue. This is a concept review. Essentially, the land use law allows someone who is planning on bringing a site plan or a subdivision application before the board to come for an informal review before they get their final plans put together so that they can get some, hopefully, generic some sense of from the board of what the board's concerns may be, so that when they get to putting their final application together, maybe they can address any issues that the board might consider to be important issues and come in with a cleaner application. So they're here tonight. This is a non-binding discussion, so that anything that board members say is non-binding. You can express your views, but they're not binding on you when a formal application comes. The applicant is also going to say we're going to do this or that, or decisions or our plans, not binding on them either. They can change if they like before they decide to come and file a formal application. So this is basically a discussion between the applicants who make the presentation, tell you what it is that they're looking for, what they're proposing to do, and then probably saying, hey, you guys have any comments, suggestions, recommendations, concerns, or whatever to assist them in their planning. And Mr. Gale is here on behalf of the applicant.
Jeffrey Gale, from the firm of Gale and Lawson, appearing on behalf of the applicant. The applicant is a long-standing restaurant in the heart of town, the Harborside, with the adjacent parking lot. The Harborside has on top a couple of professional office spaces, and at this point in time, the owner has requested that we bring to the board the concept of converting the parking lot to a mixed-use commercial residential. Now, this mixed use was permitted by your ordinances for the historic business district, which is where we're located, but we need some clarification as to how this board implements some of those regulations. I thought the first party this evening that presented your case was confronted with something similar to what we're faced with, where someone on the board interprets an ordinance in one manner, the engineer corrects it, somebody else on the board says, I need further discussion. I'm trying to pinpoint those areas of our concern and hoping to get some feedback so that we properly prepare our plans. The proposal would be for 22 apartment condominium units. Some would be on top of the restaurant. Some would be freestanding on the far side of the parking lot. The complete description will be provided tonight by our architect, Mr. Adler, who's here. But some of the concerns that I have the parking for the residential dwelling units, and the word is may, M-A-Y, may be provided on-site. But that would imply that you could do something off-site. But then when I go to a separate section of the ordinance, it says that the resident, that the public parking lot shall not be used for the calculation for needed residential parking. Now, those two statements would seem to be in conflict. I don't know that I'm going to get a final determination from the board, but I don't want to come in with a layout and have somebody point out to me one part of the ordinance and somebody else point out the other. So part of the reason we're here tonight is a clarification on how we can provide appropriate parking so as not to create a parking variance. And in fairness to Atlantic Highlands, you've been exceptionally skillful in your ordinances by providing that if I don't provide enough spaces, it's a $25,000 per space. I'm aware of it, my client is aware of it, and we're here in part to avoid it being involved in that ordinance. The second concern that we have is that when your ordinance provided for a mixed use, the language is that the residential dwelling units shall be confined to the upper stories of the building and that street level space should be occupied by the principal uses. We intend to do that for the portion that's the existing restaurant. However, to provide sufficient parking for the remaining units, as has become typical in today's day and age, the first one really is the parking garages over which the residential would stand. And we just want to make sure that the board doesn't determine that that is in conflict with the language of the ordinance and that it is a reconfiguration for a permitted use. Difference being a C variance versus a D variance. Those are the main reasons I'm here, but we haven't told you enough about the project to really get any input back. So I'm going to introduce Mr. Adler, our architect, and allow him to take over.
Can you swear me in for an informant?
You don't have to be sworn for an informant.
All right. All right, so I'll just give a brief overview of what the intended design is. As Mr. Gale mentioned, we're proposing to create 22 residential units that range from one bedroom to two bedrooms. There are only 3 1 bedroom units, the remainder are 2 bedroom units, spread across the 2 stories above the parking and above the restaurant. It is one unified building. It's not something separate over the parking versus something separate over the restaurant. It's a continuous one single building in the end. So this is essentially an addition to the building that is the restaurant. There's a second floor on the restaurant right now, and we are proposing to remove or convert that so that it will be all residential on the upper floors. The units are arranged essentially, when you look at it from the street, you can see some in the handout that you have on the renderings on the board that I have over there. They're arranged such that on the street side, we very deliberately tried to create a sort of an articulation along the facade, so it's not just one massive long building. We didn't want it to feel like a big apartment building, as you know, often is done for these kinds of projects. So it's broken up by balconies and so on, so it feels like a series of some smaller buildings as the way it will sort of read to the street. There's an openness to the parking, but there's small brick knee walls and so on to make it so that you're not just looking right into the parking lot as you walk along the walkway, and we'll try and take some similar brick like is on the walkway and pull it up onto the face of those. We've done a lot with, and you can see this probably better on your handouts, trying to create this sort of small old world feel to the ground level. So whether it's the openings into the garage or the openings into the porch that wraps around the harbor side, that's sort of proposed to remain, keeping that sort of old, almost downtown Soho kind of a feel to it. Some real cool old features and details, crown moldings, dentils, and things like that. So this can really, I think, complement the historical aspect of the town is. And I looked along first to just look for certain details to use as keys and clues to the way we detail this. You see the heavy cornice that we put up at the top, so we can kind of pull some of those details so that really hopefully reflects some of the history of this particular zone. The units themselves on the second and third floors are also arranged around a central courtyard. Now you wouldn't see that from the street, but it creates more light coming into the actual units. There's an interior kind of space to that, so they almost have their own neighborhood up on that upper level there, which I think can be kind of a cool space up there. The third floor is a balcony looking into that. On the second floor, it's more of a like a garden courtyard area. And you can see that again in the handout plans that we provide. The units are also, some are flats and some are duplexes. So some of them actually occupy both the second and third floors. But not all, so there's a mix of that as well. As I saw it, as I laid it out, I believe that we have met all of our requirements with regard to bulks, our setbacks, our FAR, coverage, all of that is compliant with your ordinance. The unit sizes are either at or above your minimum size requirements, so everything from that regard is compliant, the size of the building and so forth. The only thing, as I saw, although Mr. Gale has mentioned a couple question marks, would be the parking. And I think it's important to note, when you look at the commercial space that's there now, between the first and second floors, as your ordinance allows, we can use your public lot, with, if it's within the appropriate distance, to supplement the parking for the commercial space. And the commercial space for both floors right now require 71 spaces on the first floor, 64 spaces for the second floor for the use that's there right now. So a total of 135 parking spaces. 17 are provided on site, so that would move 118 of those to your public lot presently. The residential, while the building is a larger number of square feet, obviously, and you can see obviously from the renderings, it's a bigger building to finish and sort of fill in the fabric of what's on that side of the street now. The larger building in a lighter use actually has a lower parking requirement. So the first floor will go from 71 to 79 square feet parking spaces because of certain features, although we'll never have people in. So we have garbage space, we have an elevator lobby, we have an elevator itself, and because the parking and the occupancy limit is covered on your gross square feet, those features, which won't really add more occupants, still make us have to add 8 more parking spaces to this. So that's proposed in here. But the residential units require 44 spaces combined of the two spaces, of the two levels, rather. And we're proposing 22 spaces now on the ground. So we're actually adding more parking than is there presently. So in other words, leaving only 101 spaces, if we were to use the 22 we don't provide on site, if we were to use your public parking facility, we would be needing 101 spaces. So a reduction of 17 spaces currently needed from what's currently needed from the parking lot right now. So as much as the building is bigger, the way it's calculated parking and the lighter use is actually reducing its demand on your parking because we're losing a decent amount of second floor commercial space from this.
A clarifying question on that. Are there any spaces required for the existing Harborside that would remain?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Are there parking spots required for the Harborside restaurant that would remain?
Yes, so all of them.
What would you point? So that would be the 79 spaces?
The 79 spaces is for the Harborside plus the increase because of the few things we're adding, like the garbage room and a lot.
Required.
That's required, yeah.
And you're proposing 22?
We have 22 we're proposing on site compared to the 17 that are there presently.
And the rest would defer to the public parking?
That would be our request, yes.
And a couple of those spots are tandem spots, right?
Yes, they are. Yeah. A couple of them are tandem. So that goes, well, we're adding more space to
size. Pardon me, have you gotten that far yet? Aside from the tandem spots, are the stalls, are they full size or are they compact size?
They're full size. Yeah, they're all set as full size. And the aisles are actually wider than required, so currently it's more simple. There's actually an aisle we're proposing for ingress for the restaurant, so people can pull in off the street and drop off, so it's not dropping off in the street, and then pull through the parking lot and out, whereas the other entrance to parking is a two-way access, which is really for the residents who use those spaces in the first floor. And I think they have to be assigned in order to make use of that as well. So that we can make the tandem process work.
How many spots are you currently using in the town parking lot?
So currently, based upon the calculation, we would be using 118 spaces. So it's 135 total required for our current facility, minus the 17 that are on site, leaves 118 that are used from the current facility, compared to 101 we're proposing.
And how many are required, like, I can't backwards that math, for the residential aspects alone?
So the total of 44 needed for them. It's not, although it's 22 units and it's 44 spaces, it's not a direct ratio of really two per unit. There's a calculation that the one-bedroom units require a certain amount of two.
Right.
So it does actually look like it's just two per, but it's not quite that. Mm-hmm.
So for my education, I'm not tracking the numbers. So like, where does the 135 requirement come from today?
Today it comes from the restaurant on the first floor and the portion of the restaurant that's on the second floor. There's
the one that's not open.
It's open right now for catering,
it's
not closed.
Yeah.
It's
not used for daily use.
Presently, it's not. It still can be, and it's approved for that, and it was for a while. And COVID had an effect. Obviously, hopefully, that could also turn around if we don't do this.
So 135 down the line more.
That's right.
Your 22 space calculation does not include any credits for EV charger, make ready spaces or stalls or anything like that?
No, I mean, I know that we will need to provide some of those, so when we finalize our set, that will be in there, but it's not looking, it doesn't change any of our numbers.
But it's not in your count.
That's correct. No, it's true 22 parking spaces shown.
But I conceivably have tenants that would not be able to park on site.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Potentially, depending upon, I guess, how we would parse out the spaces and how we would use the tandem units, potentially. Some would be, especially maybe the one or a second space for a two-bedroom. I think there may be a lot of opportunity where people don't have the two cars that the ordinance says they have to be allowed to have. So it's potential that there would also not be anybody that isn't able to get one. It's hard to say.
Do you know how the top floor commercial space parking, how many spaces are required versus the downstairs restaurant?
Yes, the current first floor of the restaurant requires 71 spaces, and the current second floor requires 64 spaces. This has to do with the way it's not assigned seats, it's not fixed seats, and it's also bar. And so we did break that up, so where it's directly related to the bar, we went with the density that goes around the bar, and where it's further away from the bar, we went with the lighter density for where you could have tables and so forth set. So we didn't just take the worst case and try and make it, you know, any different. It's just sort of the typical way that we would do a restaurant bar setup. And we actually enumerated that on the cover page of the set that we did for you, and we show for the proposed design how we separate out the restaurant from the bar tavern area. So we'll get the calculation for each.
Do you have an estimation of how many potential variances you would be looking for?
Really, it would be the parking request. I'm not proposing a variance for height, for setbacks, for FAR. It's all designed to be compliant, minimum size of the units.
Did you say that there was a patio on the very top floor?
It's not the top floor, so actually the second floor is a patio. So if you look at the image that's on the screen, you'll see the sort of center section with the curved lines. That's actually open to the outdoors. There's no roof over that area. At the second floor, it's a garden area with some paths and walking areas. And then at the third floor, it's an opening, like a donut hole, where it's a balcony that you look down and see into that.
So there's really an elevator proposed for that?
Oh, yes. There's an elevator that goes from, it goes as low as the parking and as high as the third floor.
What would be the highest point of that building if you had the elevator?
The highest point, like the roof?
Yeah, like if you had, so the elevator would have to go all the way up, so it would go across the roof line, right? So what would be the highest
point? No, the elevator is nothing above the roof line, because that outdoor space is at the level of the living units.
Okay.
It's not on the roof or the top floor. Mm-hmm. So we're going to max out to our maximum building height, but we're not proposing to go above that, so it's 35 feet.
There's no usable space on top of the third floor?
There is not. No, we're not proposing anything on the top of the third floor.
No roof deck, anything
like that? We're not.
So, how many parking spots are you going to be short?
We're required to have 79 for the commercial, which we're proposing would be from the public parking. We're required to have 44 for the residential, and we're providing 22, and seeking relief for 22. And so...
So you're short 22?
22, that's correct. But as I said, the 22 added to the 79 still brings us...
So Harborside, you still need the requirement for...
There's no onsite parking for Harborside Grill.
So it's 79 plus 22.
So, yeah, I'm just trying to get a real number.
Right, the 22 spaces that we're providing would be for the residents only.
So if you did 79 plus 44, that would be the total number, and then subtract 22 is what they're going to provide, and then that total is what?
That's 101. That would be 101.
Say it out loud. Someone say that number out loud.
That you're 101.
For sure, 22 spaces.
101.
101 spaces.
Well, okay, so the 101, yes, the 79, we're allowed by your ordinance to use your public lot.
And how many spots is what a public lot provide for you?
The public lot would provide the 79 for the commercial and 22 of the residential. There'd be a total of 101. We're presently, we're using 118.
But residents can't park in the...
That's where a request comes.
But weren't they used up in the past?
Right, Mr. Giacomo, I think it's a moot point because relying on the municipal lot comes with some specific criteria, specifically 300 feet walking distance.
We've measured that.
Yeah,
we've measured that. That's okay.
It's 300 feet to the geometric side of the municipal parking lot.
Yes, my client advises that they have reviewed that, and we wouldn't come back before this board unless we can verify that that is in fact a walking distance.
Okay, well, I just recommend that you check that again quickly as the crow flies at 500 feet plus. So it looks like a parking deficit of 101 stalls as proposed, and the 22 residential that you're sure would result, if the board grants a variance, it would result in a payment in lieu of approximately $500,000?
No.
Let me see if I am easier. 25,000 times 22.
Oh, it wasn't the math that was wrong. It was the adjustment that would be made to the plan not to pay the penalty.
Right.
Your math was correct, but that's where we end up. But that's why we're here this evening, before we start to do
it. We have to figure out the parking. Mm-hmm. That area, what you're doing, what will probably happen is you're going to start approaching on the residential area, which we already had a situation where the council approved parking on Ocean Boulevard, and the residents, everybody spoke up, and, you know, they resolved that. Okay, there was a situation on Center Avenue where they wanted to do nighttime dining, and another property provided the parking for them. Okay, what I'm suggesting is maybe reach out to the harbor. It seems like you have a lot of spots to fill. The parking lot is not utilized by the gazebo. Maybe you could lease or work an arrangement with the harbor. Okay, I think beautiful building. I think a lot of these people wind up using the C Street.
That's so our initial
building. I think that's one of the values.
I see maybe there's a partnership there as far as the parking goes. I'm just saying as parking goes. So you definitely have to resolve the parking issue.
It should be understood the parking is a major issue. Mass borough, of course.
Massive problem for us. So I mean, I'm sure you build a beautiful building. You know. The harbor side, you know, is a great place. It's done a lot for the community. I know it cares about the community, all that, but it's just a parking issue. It's something that's what we have to do.
I recognize in part of our thought process, I'll give the credit to Mr. Edelman, was that a number of people might be coming weekends to the C Street in the summer, and they would only have the one car there. That was the underlying theory.
Yeah, but we can't really rely on babies. Like,
yeah, whatever.
I don't know.
I would also very strongly suggest a very thorough traffic study. That is in the entire borough that probably sees the most foot traffic, vehicle traffic, boats coming in and out on the weekends. Like, so.
Cyclists.
Motorcycles? You're going to have a bicycle shop right next door?
Next door?
Probably, you know, within the next couple of months.
It's also tough making a left or a right-hand turn out of there.
As it is.
Without anything.
That's what I mean. A thorough traffic study would I think, be very wise.
That next important one we're here.
Yeah.
We talked about not a plan, but a concept. Mm-hmm. And some of the feedback that you're providing, I can't say literally would not have had a traffic. But obviously, that's what the board's going to be looking for. It was an excellent suggestion for us to check with the Harbor Commission. That won't be within 300 feet, so we would just need to have some kind of agreement where I'm not going to get fined $25,000 for every spot now that I'm down at the harbor. But that may well be a great alternative if I can get that waived. And again, these are things that we've been kicking this around for 4 months. We didn't have these ideas. So, I mean, that's why we're here. Not to get anybody to say yes or no, really excited about the idea, but to say, what can we do to make it palatable for the board?
Yeah, I mean, I think having, I don't think any of the lots, the municipal lots are supposed to be used for overnight parking, correct? So,
right.
You know, so, you know, I understand your argument about the commercial space needing next amount now,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, having 22 additional spaces, overnight parking in municipal lots is an issue. Yeah, so.
And the parking intensity is different too.
So yeah.
You're talking about a reduction in spaces mm-hmm. because you've had two commercial spaces and you're reducing one of the commercial spaces. You're talking about overnight parking, you're talking about all day parking people who are home mm-hmm. as opposed to somebody who's just drive for, you know, for dinner and a couple of drinks.
Right, but you're also meaning you're also not talking about the kind of transient parking that commercial is. You're talking about the come in. They stay.
Yeah.
They leave once a day, twice a day maybe. So there's also a lot less traffic pattern that's created by the residential
sure.
than the commercial. It's not the same cars from the commercial, right? It's repeatedly filling those spaces. So I think it's a lighter use on residential than it is on commercial, albeit a larger building.
Sure. And just to clarify, I think I know the answer to this, but in terms of commercial space, the existing commercial space, the Harborside Grill, Farm Grill, will be the only commercial space on that block.
There won't
be any additional storefronts or
that's
shops
correct.
Or nothing.
Not adding any more commercial space, but for a garbage room and the lobby and the elevator and so on. So those count toward it in new. That's why I've got more spaces. As crazy as that is, we're not going to have more occupants because we have more sure. space.
But what about like amenities for the building, fitness room, meal room, things like that on the first floor?
We don't have anything like that. It's just residential units. That's it.
And these units are going to be luxury units? Are they going to be mixed, like low middle income, or?
Well, we'll have to do. We have to meet the requirements for low to moderate income. So every fifth unit, basically 20%, has to be accounted for that one way or another.
And I heard the word condo. So they'll be for sale or they're rentals?
I don't think that decision has been made.
To be determined.
Yeah.
It will be before we file an application.
and
in fairness, Mr. Doherty, to your question about commercial uses on the first floor,
yeah.
Not today, but maybe tomorrow, we have to go back and rework these plans. Again, that's why we're here.
Sure.
We have to go back and work the plans, take all the comments that we receive, and see what adjustments we can make to make adjustments we put in.
I mean, to Mr. McGoldrick's point earlier, in that particular block will have a brand new bike shop very soon. There is a restaurant that has reopened, rebranded Gaslight, right across from there. There's a children's store that opened within the last couple of years. There's a lot more commercial uses in that space. So it's just, you know, adding more. It's an intensity. That's all.
Could you speak through your plan of how you foresee moving trucks? Like, is there clearance where the moving trucks can fit underneath? Because there's a lot of units here. And we don't want them all backed up on First Avenue.
That's a great point. And yes, we have to do that because we also have to accommodate fire and other emergency vehicles. So that's all.
That was my next question.
Yeah. It's all based into the height we will set the first floor above the ground.
Okay.
And sanitation collection, too.
Yeah. Exactly.
I just want to make sure that there's a plan for movement, for shared mobility of all that.
So absolutely.
Because there are, you know, best laid plans, but
yeah.
they don't
yeah.
work out because of
some. And then there's blocking traffic
yeah,
in the street.
Yeah.
It definitely is, and even the drive aisle between the parking spaces is considerably wider than required, just because of the footprint of the building. And so there's room for even a moving truck to be there and still be able to maneuver. Obviously, it could block some cars, but they can adjust and move, so.
I was just wondering if that was a consideration.
Absolutely.
And again, just for my education, is there any consideration for reducing the number of units to meet the requirement of the parking?
It's certainly an option. This is part of what we're really trying to get.
I was trying to see if that was amenable.
If we need to reduce this, or if there's some, you know, happy medium that makes this more palatable, you know, that's what we're looking for.
19 two-bedrooms, 3 one-bedrooms, was that the count right now?
Yes, correct.
Can the borough lot be just eternally used for parking, like forever? Because it might count, we're up to like 27,000 parking spaces. I think it's time for the count of the parking garage, though.
Yeah.
Don't get this efficient, sir.
This point, it's a different conversation for a different board, but.
And what is that a parking spot? Is it $39,000 a spot?
From a garage?
What is it?
Mark?
About that.
Now, when did you make the penalty $25,000?
So if we build a parking garage here, Tom might want to lease some spaces?
At a certain point, it has to be done. It's just inevitable.
What's your time?
Stop all building altogether, you're gonna have to do something, because, there's no choice at this point.
Is there anything else to add, or?
I do appreciate the board. I understand we're all new to concept meetings, no notice, but that's what this is for.
Just one quick thing.
Put an addition on the house.
The power pole over by the opening there, I don't know if that's a safety concern or all, or if this is just maybe the rendering is not.
It's off to the side, I think it's just the vantage point of the rendering, yeah, it's not in the way of the access.
Just something to point out.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, appreciate you coming back.
Again, thank you. I know everyone wants to get home and watch the game.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Pitch game bombs.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
14-7.
Aye.
I got no, I think those are a bunch of different texts.